opportunity to gather and worship God. As our manner is, this is a moment of the Bible study, and today we will be studying what is very familiar with us. But first, how was the weather? It's been hot a few days now, increasingly, and it's like we are entering 30 degrees tomorrow. Right?
Of course.
I pray that the weather will continue to be pleasant to our health in Jesus' name.
Amen. Brother Dula.
Alright. So what we'll be talking about is something that is very, very familiar with us. I thank God for the privilege of being in front of you. We all know that we've been going through a series of lessons in the last few weeks, and Brother Gary is not around, that's why we have to have a stopping time. And so what we will be discussing is what is written on our board, evangelism, the ministry for all Christians. I'm sure you've all heard about evangelism, the word evangelism, right? If you have not heard of this word, can I see your hand? So it's something that is very, very familiar. And what is it? Oftentimes, we sometimes think that the work of evangelism is for ministers and missionaries alone. But is that what the Bible says? Do you know every Christian has a common responsibility? So for example, we have all been invited into Christ. We have been called by the gospel. But when we became a Christian, do we know we have responsibility? I want this class to be interactive. So what responsibility do we have as a Christian? Do you know it? That God has called you to. Maybe because you had a word
about it.
Which are our responsibility? I mean, as an individual, you know, when we come to Christ, we come as an individual and we develop a relationship with Him. What other responsibility? First of all, is to honor God. To honor God with our lives. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, let us read. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So, for we are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew for the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So the Bible describes us as special people. Why? Because we are called to the praises of Him. God has called us in order to honor Him. The other thing is to tell others about Christ. Jesus Christ, after His resurrection and just before His ascension, He gave what we call the Great Commission. He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Whosoever is baptized, believe and is baptized, shall be saved. So, the same way, we are given this important responsibility. It's a duty that Jesus called each and every one of us into. Jesus called every believer to a duty. In the book of Mark chapter 5, Jesus Christ healed a man that is possessed with devil. And this man After healing him, he wants to follow Jesus. Those are one of his heavy miracles. And he told him, no, go show yourself. Go tell the world of what you have, the goodness of God that you have seen. The book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Mark chapter 5, 18 to 20.
And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the evil spirit begged him that he might be with him. And he did not suffer him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friend, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had compassion on thee.
So Jesus Christ told this man who has been delivered to go and tell your friends. Go and tell people God's mercy, how God has had compassion on you. Similarly, today, Jesus has called us. Haven't known Christ, haven't seen his goodness, haven't experienced the beauty of his salvation. He wants us to go and tell others. Another example of Jesus giving believers that instruction is the story of the Samaritan woman when Jesus met her at the well. And after coming to the knowledge that, oh, this man is Christ, she went ahead and tell her family and her village members about Christ. What is the purpose of this lesson? First of all, is to remind ourselves what evangelism is. Oftentimes we carry it away, especially in a society like here. For example, when you go back to places like Africa, evangelism is more like something we all march out and preach. But here, because of law and culture, it's not a familiar thing. So we might be carried away from this important responsibility. So the purpose of this lesson is to remind us of this important assignment that Jesus has called us onto. Another thing is for us to understand what evangelism is as a ministry entrusted to all Christians. It's not just a few people, maybe people who have the privilege to come in front and teach others. No, you as a woman, you as a child, you as a father, as an old person, or a young person has that responsibility which Jesus has entrusted into our hands. And finally, for this lesson, we will expose our mind to what the gospel is and how we can share it in our contemporary world. It is important that we talk about our contemporary world because, for example, if you go to other places, maybe other parts of the world, where there are restrictions in terms of culture, relationship. In fact, I have heard that in America, in workplace, you can't even mention the word God. Some people might query you, why are you bringing God into this business? So in a society, in an environment like that, how can we do this very important assignment? So these are the things we will be talking about. Evangelism is for every Christian. It's our responsibility. Once you have seen Christ, once you have met Christ, once you believe in him, he has called you to also tell others, especially those people that you relate with every day. Show them about the beauty of Christ. Tell them about the good news. Tell them about his mercy and his grace. Many Christians today believe that evangelism is for few, or maybe the church's responsibility. But little did we know that evangelism and the work of telling others about Christ is for each and every one of us. In 2 Corinthians, someone can read for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18. To 20.
Yeah.
He is on the board, if you will.
And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ Jesus, that be ye reconciled to him.
Paul to the people of Corinthians in 2 Epistle, he said, we are given the ministry of reconciliation. Once that we have met with Christ, we have been offered the ministry of reconciliation. It has been committed into our hearts, and we are ambassadors of Christ. So wherever you are, just like the government ambassador or brand ambassador, we are ambassador of Christ. Jesus is our own brand, and we have to showcase it wherever we are. It is not just by choice. It is a responsibility. It is a duty. And it is a command. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 to 3. He said, ye are the epistle written in the hearts, written in our heart, known and read of all men. We are epistle of Christ. We are the words that people will read and to know about Christ. Wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever, whether you're talking or you're in school or you are at work in your family, you are the epistle that for the world. He said, it is the spirit of the living God. It is written not with ink, but by the spirit of the living God. When we receive Christ and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, this is the spirit that helps us to manifest what Christ is. So we are the opportunity people have to know Jesus, and it is written in our hearts. We can see a similar example in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, where the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. We are the light, we are the world. Imagine a dark place and a candlestick. That is how you are. So for example, we are used to saying that things are not done right. Things are not proper. People don't believe in God. People are godless. But we are the light that shows the way. We are the standard. We are the reference. This is what the Bible has called us unto. Now, let's talk about the Great Commission. Mind you, this is the text of our lesson today. Jesus Christ, after resurrection and is about to ascend to heaven, he gave a very big commandment to the disciples. He said, go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility. None of us can act. As a matter of fact, when something is a direct command and we shy away from it, it is a sin. So, my brother, my sister, I want you all to know that today we are ambassadors. You know, some people, they are influencers, maybe social media influencers or brand influencers. When we talk about our brand is Christ. And it's a direct command. This is what we call the Great Commission. It's actually Matthew chapter 28, from 18 to 20. That is the Great Commission. And it is a commission for you, for me, and for each and every one of us. Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of him. Make disciples. So it's not just about living, it's about winning. Our objective. So sometimes as Christians, we feel that, well, let me mind my business and do whatever I can do. But it does not stop there. We have to walk in a manner in order to bring them to Christ, because this is his desire. Then, what is evangelism? Can anybody tell me what evangelism really means? Yes. What is evangelism? For those of us that came later, we've been talking about evangelism, and we are saying that this is a ministry. Ministry means work for every believer. Once you are a believer, once you believe in God, once you are following, once you have decided, this work has been given unto you. So, what is evangelism in itself? Can anybody tell us?
It's an art.
It's an art
of taking the good news to the gospel and spreading the gospel.
Very good. Thank you. It is an art. It's like a work of taking the good news. It's a proclamation of the good news. It can be two different forms, but most importantly, it is a way, an avenue, a channel of showing the world the good news of salvation through Jesus. There are so many news of salvation, especially these days when you watch YouTube, you see channel, do you want to make money? Do you want to live a better life? Do you want to claim some benefit? All these are avenues of salvation. But this particular one is different. And that is the one we represent through Jesus, so that others might be saved. So the objective of evangelism is not just about telling them, I have told you, whether you like it or not. No. We have to make sure we win them. So imagine for a young man who wants to marry a beautiful girl that he likes so much. Even if the girl say, go away, he will come back tomorrow. Imagine. A mother who wants to make sure that her child is fed, even though the child says no, he will try. Would you try something else? If you don't want conflict, can I give you another brand? That is how the mindset that we should have as a Christian. So evangelism is not, number one, it's not a choice. Two, it's not just about sowing a seed like a farmer. Our objective is not just sowing the seed. It's about growing the crop and making harvest for Christ. So let's look at how the Bible describes it. Two examples from the Bible. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Some of these passages of the Bible are passages that we call classic passages, that sometimes you can write in a piece of paper in our wallet or in our purse. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. According to Paul's writing, evangelism is power of God. It's like a tool, an engine that God used to win people. And if God has created a device, an engine, a strategy of gaining people into the right path and seeing his beauty, his goodness, why don't we, and you are the pilot, you are the driver, why won't we take advantage and fulfill his will? The other example is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. It said, it described evangelism as preaching the gospel. Remember, there's something that has been consistent. We talk about good news. Then, in the first example, we saw it as power. In Corinthians, we call it preaching of the gospel. What does this mean? Evangelism is a command. We've mentioned that. The Bible says, go ye. Similar example of that of Matthew chapter 18. Here, the same story. Remember, the first five books of the New Testament are called what? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the first five books of the New Testament. There is a name that they call them. Brother Orange, you don't know it. They are called the gospel. Why do you think those books are called the gospel? You have known too much. that the book that talks about the life of Christ and his ministry and the life of the early apostles, early disciples. So they form the good news, the message, the purpose of Christ. That is why they are the gospel. I advise you, if you want to know about Christ, more about his life and his physical presence and on earth, go read this book. You can take them chapter by chapter, day by day, and before you know it, you'll have a picture of the entire story. Also, Matthew, evangelism is about preaching the word. Paul to Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. What does this mean? It means when the time is right, when the time is good, we have to preach God. Imagine you are hungry and you have hearts to preach the word. How would you do it? How would you do it? Yes, we are talking about in season and out of season. In season, maybe sometimes, somebody was telling me at work that sometimes I don't smile. I said, no. We don't feel the same all the time. Even that, don't say, you don't know what's going through my mind. Maybe I'm thinking of how to pay energy bill or something. That's just a joke. So, evangelism, the work of preaching, is not just about when we feel good or when we have the ability. It's something we have to do at all costs. Yes, with passion. That reminds me. I remember when my wife was learning sewing that's a long time ago, and the tutor there used a description of what passion is. I never forget the day she told me. I kept it at the back of my mind that whatever you do, and you do it too much, is what is called passion. You cannot say you have passion for something and you've not done it to the point that people will look at you and ask, what's wrong with you? Are you the only one? You understand? That's a layman explanation of what passion is. Something that you do with all your heart, energy, time. You are so much into it. This is an interesting lesson and we don't have so much time. But I still want to bottle it all into one piece. Because honestly, the story of the gospel doesn't need to be stated. It's a message whole. And something is like, when there is a fire incident and you want people to be saved, when you say, hey, you won't tell them why. Fire, 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 out, out, out. You understand? That's how much the gospel is. It's a message that we have to pass across. Let the audience, our prospective candidate, know the message as soon as possible and be able to win them for Christ. Yes, this passage is another classic passage in the work of evangelism. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1-4. It is very important. Some of these things, we can write it somewhere, especially our young people. Write it somewhere so that when you remember, you can. And what is most important about the passage is the place that we have highlighted. You will notice that some of these letters are also in block form. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, and also you stand. By which you also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all, now he's not talking about the gospel, that which I have also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Now, what do you think the gospel is? I'm giving you a school for the exam. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. You see, this message is very elementary, but they are key to eternal life. And we should have it at our breast. I mean, like taking it everywhere, we should have all these messages. So this is simply the gospel that Jesus came and died. He was buried, he resurrected. And this is the reason why it's a good news. But does that make sense yet? It will not make sense, because if you don't know the meaning for why Jesus had to die, why he had to pay the price, it will look like, well, now people die every day, of course. But his death, his burial, and the fact that he rises again, it all has significant meaning in the life of every Christian. Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is a sacrifice that he paid in order to buy us back. The book of Acts 20, he said he purchased us with his blood. The fact that Jesus raised again also gives us assurance that even though we die, we will rise with him. And this is the story of the gospel. What other description of the gospel do we have? Yes, we'll be talking about the gospel. We told us ourselves what the gospel is. But what other description do we call the gospel? Some of them we mentioned it already.
Good news.
Good news. Any other one? The power of God. Any other one?
The message of God.
So there are many ways which the gospel has been described in the scriptures. Let's look at them. First, it's called the good news. You are fast. When I was in the university, there's a lecturer that said, "You're brilliant." Whenever you say the right question. So the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 15 describes the gospel as the good news. We'll still talk about why is it a good news. It's a message of grace. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Ephesians 2 8.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. So the gospel, our salvation, is not something that we merit. We don't merit it. God has decided that he's not saving us. I remember there's this passage that I love so much. The book of 1 Corinthians 9. No, Romans 9, 15. That says, and he said, if we have mercy on him, he will have mercy. It is not of whom that will it. Or whom they are running. So it's not because we desire it, it is just because God had mercy. And that is why salvation is by grace. Also, the Bible describes the gospel as the word of reconciliation. Man, when he was created in the Garden of Eden, the Bible told us that Adam fell, and from that point, he got separated. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this is the message that brings us back to Christ. It's called the gospel of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. It is called the truth. There are so many lies in the world, like some of the ones I've told you. Some people believe that when they found a good friend, then they have safety in this world, or they find good companion, or they have money, or they have the things of this world. But the truth of life is only found in the gospel. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will do what? Will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever seen somebody that existed in this world and has never died? Is there somebody? So most of these things that we talk about are something we read, but these ones are something we witness, right? Because we've never seen anybody who has lived in this world and has never lived. It means that we all are destined to die one day, whether sooner or later. So these are evidence. But the gospel offers us comfort and consolation. It says, whosoever believes will not perish, will have everlasting life. The gospel is the power of God. It's the mighty power of God. The Bible, some places call it the mystery of God that God revealed unto us, that even the prophets and the great people of old never knew about. And finally, it is described as the message of the kingdom. Remember, when Jesus Christ was physically preaching around, he was telling people that the kingdom of God is near. Similarly, there's so many sermons he talked about the kingdom of God, and even John the Baptist. And this message is the message of the kingdom. Now, why is it a good news? Can anyone tell us why this message is a good news? Okay. It is a good news because it's a message of hope. In this life, there are so many troubles, but in Christ, there is hope, there is safety, there is comfort, there is assurance. The gospel is a message of God's love. God so loved the world. The Bible says, in that while God commended its love, if you read Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine yourself, someone who has committed a crime and is about to be sentenced or deserved punishment. But right there, instead of having punishment, there was mercy. That is what we all have received. We received mercy from God. So it's a message of love. The gospel is a message of grace. We don't merit it. It's not by work. The Bible describes our work of righteousness. It said it's like what? Filthy rags. So nobody can claim perfection. No one. Because by ourselves, we cannot be perfect. Do you know why Christians are perfect? Do you know why? Because our perfection is in Christ. The Bible says, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
But do you know somebody can step out of Christ? If you sin, the Bible says there is therefore no sacrifice for sin. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and everything that become new. So that is why, that is what makes Christians perfect. That is what makes us pure. It is not we, it is Christ. We are put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. He said, many of you that have been baptized have done what? Have put on Christ. And it's a message of reconciliation. Now, what are the steps to salvation? So this is what you should arm yourself with. Number one, you should know about this gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Here, the Bible in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You should believe. After hearing, believe. If you look at our picture, there is a red highlight. God has already done his part by giving us Christ, by remembering us, and by giving us Christ. Jesus has come and has completed his own part. And he also promised the Spirit. Those things are available. It's just like job available for you if you become a nurse. But if you have not become a nurse, do you have that job? No. So these are privileges that happen, but how can we get it? We hear, we believe, we repent of sin, we confess Jesus, and be baptized. These are the examples. The one might tell you so many things, but you know the interesting thing? Now that we have AI, you know this AI, ChatGPT, Meta, and the rest, if you just type, tell me what are the steps to that salvation according to this, this is what it can bring down. So many people don't read the scripture, but you know the AI has all the message in his mind and will just give you. So these are tools that we can also use to help ourselves. So we have to tell them this message. Hear, believe, repent, because we are in sin. The Bible says all are sin. Nobody can claim sinlessness. Confess Jesus. Whosoever is willing to confess Christ, Jesus said, he will confess before. Be baptized. Baptism is a comparison to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 6, 4 and 5. He said, for we are buried with him by baptism. Now, what is baptism? When can we be baptized? Oftentimes, some people, when they get the gospel, say, oh, you can learn a bit more. But when did the Bible say? The Bible says, immediately, not tomorrow, not later time, right away. Remember the story of the jailer, where Paul and Silas were put into the prison, and they were singing and praying, and there was a miracle, and all the chains broke, and the jailer was about to kill himself, and eventually he met Paul and Silas, and they prayed, and he took them to his house, and that same night, according to the scripture, the whole family got baptized. Immediately, two examples. Saul, why tarriest thou? When Jesus arrested Paul on his way to Damascus, the Bible told us that Holy Spirit met Ananias to go to him. One word Ananias told him, why tarriest thou? Today, we have known Christ. Why tarriest thou? So when you preach this gospel, don't wait for tomorrow. Let them say, the Bible says, when Paul saw it, Apollo, what are it? Who brings the increase? It is God. Leave the rest. Whether the person is convinced or not, but you have to complete your job. And you have to do it with love in such a way that you want to win and not to lose. We also have the Ethiopian eunuch story after Philip preached to the man. The man himself, he saw what they said, what in that mean? Philip didn't even tell him now. But these are the examples that we have in the scripture. How can we evangelize the world today? This is the most interesting part to me. How? Yeah, this is a place where you say the name of Jesus alone can annoy some people. Saying God can make some people feel bad. If I met a guy who is an immigrant just like me, who doesn't believe in God. So this is how the world has. This is the nature of the world, but it is the mind of Christ that we, you and I, sisters, Brother Lucky, Sister Jenny, Brother Dylan, you, Sister Christina, we are the ones to tell them, to show them and bring them to Christ and help them to the knowledge of God. The Bible, one of the first way for us to evangelize in this crooked world and people who fear not God is number one. Let your life be a living testimony. So we cannot say we believe in Christ and it doesn't show in our lives. Our life must be a living testimony. Romans, you say, and be not conformed to this world, invite others to church. So why you know this good news, the message of hope? So many people suffer depression, all because they never knew there is hope, there is grace, there is love. They never knew that with Christ, all things are what?
Possible.
You are the one to tell them. Social media, we all have this wonderful, amazing tool. These are opportunities to preach the gospel. SMS, I remember, I used to be coordinator for SMS evangelism. You know, SMS is there for WhatsApp. It's different from all of that. It's like the simplest. So the church used to make short messages, and there was this very interesting message that I put together when I said, faith plus belief, letter sign, plus repent, plus confess, plus baptism equals to salvation. That was the text, and I sent it to. So we have like about 700 list of SMS leads that in church account that we used to broadcast. So as little as SMS, you could tell others about Christ. WhatsApp. We all have WhatsApp. We have status. You can share messages. Some of the pictures that you just see here, you can put it there. It doesn't have to be by yourself. You can use an opportunity like this to share with others. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Yes, there are bad things there, but these are channels that we can use. It's called mass media. We can reach people, millions of people in seconds. Let us also take advantage. You have known it. Let us know that you will be required. You will be asked if we fail. God say that woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. The same thing applies to you and I. Woe unto us if we preach not the gospel. And finally, we can use Christian literature. There are Bibles here. You can give to a friend. I'm sure if you have a friend you want them to know, ask for one. Walk in here and take it. And these are avenues. Don't worry about the increase. God bringeth the increase. Now, these are creative ideas, especially for our youth. There are tags. People have t-shirts. If you can't say it, at least you can wear it. If you can't say it, if you can't go, at least you can tag it. There are so many tools that we can use to preach. It can create a conversation. Once the conversation triggers, you can ask somebody, oh, I have a brother or I have a sister. Will you be willing to talk to that person? But even if you can't do it, but we have to create the opportunity. We have conversation. We go to the park. Now, this is summer time. This is an opportunity for you to tell your story too. This is our message and we have to deliver. There are very nice things, sticker. You can create it yourself or you can even buy it. That girls, boys can make use of. We can go for outreach. There was a program by Brother Dylan put together here where we invited people. These are avenues. So there are so many to know that we cannot escape from preaching the gospel. We have to do it at all costs. We must make every effort. Sorry, I was just looking at our time. The time is running now. This passage of the Bible, I know this so much. And I want you, even when you get old, I want you to read it. He reads 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 to 23. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain more. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law. Be not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I may might by all means save what? Save some. He said, by all means. This is the writings of Apostle Paul. I have become lowly to the lowly. I have tried to measure up. I have become a bro to the bro. I have become a friend to the sinner. Do you know Jesus is a friend to the sinner? He loves sinner, but he doesn't love sin. How do we bring them to Christ if you don't say hi, hello, and by all means? He said, look at that face. That I might by all means say some. It's not about saving up. Bring some. Bring some to Christ. Try. And when you show a seed today, you never know how it is. And sometimes you think that would not make the effort. But the seed is there. They take it away and it will grow because God loves all men and He has their soul in His hand. So I said, it's God the whole world in His hand. It's God the whole world in His hand. It's God the whole world. So, it's God the whole world in His hand. So He knows everybody. But do your part. So that we can say, by all means, I might say some. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, evangelism is not just a task, it's a privilege. Imagine such a good news that will heal people, that will give them comfort, hope, and safety. It is also a responsibility for every Christian. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8, somebody should read. That is where we draw the cutting.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, yea, am I sending.
He said, who shall I send? Today, Jesus is asking the same question again. Who shall I send? Or who shall go for us? Is it you? Is it me? Then I said, here am I, send me. May God bless His word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.